It's 8:36. Welcome to A Public Affair on KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and this morning we're going to take a look at affordable housing in Boulder County, or indeed the lack thereof. I have two guests joining me this morning, both from Boulder County Housing Authority, which deals with this issue of affordable housing. I have with me Nori Boyd, who is the Housing Development Manager with BCHA, and also joining us, Erin Ganser, who is a Development Project Manager at Boulder County Housing Authority. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Well, as I said, BCHA, Boulder County Housing Authority, you primarily deal with this issue of affordability when it comes to housing. Is that correct, Nori?
That's correct, yes. Boulder County is actually housed within the Boulder County Housing Department of Housing and Human Services. So we've integrated housing and human services in order to provide a wide array of services to people as early in their need as possible. And that helps them get stabilized sooner and avoid deeper crisis. And one of the keys to providing that stability is to provide the housing itself.
Well, we'll talk about exactly what does affordability mean, because it means different things in different parts of the county. But Erin, we're talking mainly about rental this morning, because that's really the area that you deal with. How would you describe the rental market right now for people in a fairly average income, countywide, looking for rental and something that is affordable?
The rental market is very tight, that particularly units that are more affordable, certainly luxury units are coming on faster than affordable units, that the margins there are easier for contractors and developers to reach. And so luxury units are coming on faster than affordable units. And so folks that are looking at a more modest income at a more affordable rent are having more and more trouble finding that. That the vacancy rates in the county, or in Louisville particularly, is 3.2%. Which is incredibly low, that we hear stories from folks that they need help right now, that they've been looking for a while and that it's becoming dire. And that it's almost more of a word of mouth game and a relationship game than it is searching Craigslist or a local ad advertisement.
I mean, I've heard that anecdotally myself, that before a place is even advertised, it's already rented. And so you have to be really part of a wide social network to be able to tap in. We're seeing ads on Facebook. Does anybody know of a rental? So people are using their own networks as opposed to the traditional way of maybe Craigslist or the advertising. So that really, by the very nature of that, will exclude a whole swath of people who don't have access to that maybe social capital.
Very much so. Or if you don't sell yourself well, or if you're not an ideal tenant in the sense, or have an ideal record of, say, that you have had some financial issues in the past, that really the folks that are able to put themselves out there and have time to network and have time to kind of tuck themselves up are having better luck. I've met people just in through the conversations on working in the community on preparing to do our project in Louisville, of people who have been telling me that they're feeling dire, and then they finally felt that one human connection where their personality really clicked with the landlord, and had that not happened, they'd be living in their car. That it sounds very lucky at this point.
So those people who are maybe rising to the top of the pile of people looking, I mean, I'd imagine that would exclude maybe people with families. Mm-hmm. Because not every landlord sees a family as a great rental opportunity compared to maybe a single professional. People mm-hmm. with pets, people mm-hmm. with animals, yeah. people, as you said, who don't necessarily have a great track record credit-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of those things will influence how quickly someone is willing to take them on as a tenant.
Well, you mentioned this project that you're working with in Louisville. Are you bringing on more affordability in Louisville? What's happening there?
Yes. The project that we're working on most with most of our time right now is called Kestrel, and it will be located at the northwest corner of South Boulder Road and Highway 42. About 2 years ago, the county purchased a 13.5-acre piece of land there with the intent of developing affordable housing. We are working really closely with the city right now to go through the entitlement and permitting process. Ultimately, the project will deliver 191 affordable units, both focused on seniors and families. There will be one building that is much more senior-focused, a three-story elevator-served building, and then we'll have a number of different multifamily buildings that have one, two, and three bedrooms. Recognizing the dearth in accessible units that are handicap accessible, we're really striving to provide a higher proportion of those than normally you see in a project. And our intent for this project is to really develop a neighborhood, an integrated neighborhood that is not just one housing type, that is not just focused on one income level, that's not focused on one age group, but that something that feels much more like an organic neighborhood where kind of all parties are welcome and that you have diversity in people and income and ages.
When you say, you know, units specifically for seniors, it's not sheltered accommodation. I mean, it's just literally an apartment that they could rent out.
Correct. It's age restricted. And so folks over 55 will be able to rent in that building. The rest of the development will not have age restrictions. We have found within development of our projects that there are groups of seniors that would prefer to be around seniors in a calmer environment, and some that prefer to still be in the chaos of everyday life with a three-year-old screaming next to you and teenagers playing catch out in the yard. And so providing an opportunity for each of those environments to exist.
I'd imagine that demand is going to be very high for that.
Very much so. Very much so. I'm going to have Nari share our lease-up timing on the last project that we did in Lafayette that was very similar in the sense of both it had a senior component and a multifamily component, but to kind of lend credence to the demand factor of how quickly we were able to put people in units that needed them is pretty impressive. And so that project is the Aspen Mall project, and we finished that up about 6 months ago.
And so people are actually living in there right now?
Yes, we recently completed 72 units, and this is in Lafayette, also East County. And that was family housing. And next door was another 70-unit building called Josephine Commons, which was also age-restricted for seniors. So we built the senior development first, and that leased up before we had even completed construction. So we had some spillover into the property next door called Aspenwall, which was going to be more 1, 2, 3, and even 4 bedrooms for families. But the senior spillover ended up occupying a lot of the 1 bedrooms there. And so that leased up quickly with both seniors and families. And, you know, the community gardens are built, people are interacting, and they use the bike trail. And it's a fabulous community. But we still have such a long waiting list for both Josephine and Aspenwall, which is giving us some pressure to hurry up on our Louisville development. And I think what's unique is that affordable housing used to be something special or had sort of a stigma associated with low-income housing. But in Boulder County, where the median income is about $96,000 for a family of four, then affordable housing becomes something that's just for average people. And so as prices increase and as rents have increased over 40% in Louisville alone since 2011, then in order for just average people to live in the community and remain in the community and not have to move out when they age, or if, God forbid, they get divorced and one family member can stay in the community and the other has to face the choice of leaving, then it just simply makes sense for communities to invest in affordable housing.
I mean, that really goes back to the, I suppose, underlying issue on this. What is affordability? And because what's affordable for maybe a young single professional working for Google in Boulder. I don't want to, you know, stereotype here, but that's very different from a family of four, five or six, or a senior working, you know, a regular job in other parts of the county. So does that make it very difficult for you and the housing authority to try and navigate all of that? Because this issue of affordability, as you just said, Nari, it's not just low income for a small pocket of people. It's average people, and more and more people need this affordable housing.
That's right. The financing has become incredibly complex. What we're seeing now is, in order to target folks who are extremely low income, below 30% of the area median income, which again in Boulder is $96,000, then that's a different rent and a different household than someone who's at 60% of the area median income. So the financing is no longer lots of federal funds subsidized public housing. It is definitely a public-private partnerships where you're relying on investors who, in the case of both the Lafayette development as well as our Louisville project, they purchase state tax credits, which allow us to help bring equity to these projects so you aren't loading up with a lot of debt. And it helps us fund the affordable housing. We're very appreciative of the state legislature who just this past year passed the state tax credit, which is a new source of equity financing that helps us build these developments and acquire property.
That's Nari Boyd. She's a housing development manager with the Boulder County Housing Authority. She's one of my guests here on A Public Affair on KGNU this morning. Also joining us is Erin Ganser, who's a development project manager also with BCHA. We're talking about affordable housing, rental housing in Boulder County. Erin, how do you choose who's going to get a lease? I mean, Nari, you mentioned a very long waiting list still in Lafayette. When are you going to open things up for the Kestrel development in Louisville, and how might you choose who gets to be the lucky leasers?
There's a few different components that go into who's the first person that gets to move in and who are folks that end up not being able to move in. We have already started an interest list for the project, and that list is kind of the major bucket of anyone who's interested in both living there as well as just hearing what's going on with the project, and that folks can hop on that interest list by heading to our website, which I can't rattle off.
We're linking to that actually at kgnu.org, so you can
Excellent.
Just go to kgnu.org and click on the link.
Very good. And so we also start an actual wait list a little further into the process when we're closer to construction completion. And so once we are at that point, we open up the wait list and it truly becomes a first come, first serve for folks who are eligible. One of the primary issues is that this is income. There is an income limit, so people may not make more than a designated amount to live on this property, which helps us make sure that we're serving the population that we were targeting. There are a couple other components that go into this, certainly. As we look at projects, one of the things that many communities want to see happen is a local preference. And so folks who, for example, that already live in Louisville or work in Louisville or have family living in Louisville are always interested in the projects that are being built there to help serve local folks. And so we are working through the logistics with HUD and with our legal department to provide that type of a local preference. But there's also disaster relief funding that came into this project. And so folks who were displaced by the flood are also receiving some priority status on the wait list. Otherwise, it truly becomes a income restriction if you're within that value amount, and then the time span of whether you were the first person on the list or the 50th. And so there's a process that we work through files, and people are called up and say, you have essentially 24 hours to sign a lease with us. Let's go through this process quickly.
When will all this likely be on board? When is construction expected to be finished in Kestrel?
We haven't started construction yet, so we're still a while out. We're hoping to formally start construction at the end of this year. We're still in the entitlement process, and then we'll look at about a 14-month construction period for the first phase, which is the senior project. And so essentially, we'll start that wait list kind of third quarter of next year.
So you said this is all in Louisville, so in East Boulder County. A very, very low vacancy rate right now for rentals, 3.2%, I think you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It seems to be what's happening now in the county is these pockets of the community, particularly in East Boulder County, because if we take out the city of Boulder, which has its own issues around housing, and you look at some of the East Boulder County communities, Lafayette, Louisville, Longmont, these were typically the areas that you go to find cheaper or more affordable housing. That now is even off the table. I mean, Nari, do you want to talk about that? What's happening in Longmont? You mentioned Louisville in Lafayette. It seems like it's further east, 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 people having to go further and further east to find anything that could be deemed affordable.
That's true. There's certainly a number of factors. I mean, as the economic downturn has turned into an upturn, the jobs are definitely available in this area. We are also still very much recovering from the 2013 floods. It's amazing to even say that, but some of these areas, whether they were washed out, their roads and access, the housing renovation process, your insurance proceeds coming in super late, all of this has contributed to this dearth of housing, especially affordable housing, because many of the communities that were hardest hit were the most vulnerable and were very affordable pockets of the county. So it's harder for them to access immediate housing in their community, and many of them are having to move further east, as you say, or up into the mountains. So we're seeing that coupled with an incredible uptick in price for labor and materials. So the construction industry itself has just become much more costly. And so with the construction prices increasing and labor market getting tighter and the lack of housing still here from the floods, we're seeing this just nexus that's not helping that housing as well. We're seeing some of the federal sources of funds dry up. So it's all coming together here to create this crisis, and we as communities have to work together to solve this.
Is there anything that BCHA, Boulder County Housing Authority, can do to track the impact when we're in this kind of nexus, as you said there, Nari, where you've got a crunch on availability of housing and yet a demand for more and more affordable housing? Is there a way to see what exactly is happening? Are we losing families? Are we losing seniors? Are we changing the demographics of our community because of what's happening with rent? Erin, is that something you could talk to?
We have been tracking some of that. We've been really, in the last few months, realizing that as this kind of perfect storm is gathering, that our best chance of helping people understand the problem is to be creating data points and understanding the impacts. Most of our work to date really has been looking at what is the opportunity cost of not doing this. What happens if you don't provide affordable housing and if you do not integrate services with housing? And there's been a lot of press lately, really across the country, about new housing models for dealing with homelessness and the impact of if you are not dealing with the problem head on and folks instead are living in shelter and going to emergency rooms, that really being proactive is the most important thing that we can do. And then we back into really kind of what is the cost savings by people not needing to fall to those emergency lines of service. We are watching the demographics of seniors and folks hitting retirement and then watching the increases in rent and knowing that many of our seniors are on limited, consistent payments for their income, that they are simply being priced out. And the county's perspective is really looking at, in addition to taking action, but making sure that we are providing really good educational points for the community to coalesce behind and to help educate leaders so that we can work on this together. There are so many different ingredients out there to help solve and attack an affordable housing problem, but not one alone will do it. And a lot of it comes down to political will, awareness, and really enacting many different measures to try to get at the root of the problem. And so we've been developing fact sheets that we leave at every community meeting. We use them with all of our meetings with leaderships and with the leadership of Lewisville and any other community where we're shopping for land and starting to think about development so people understand what is the context in which we're working. Because often people are nervous about the change and the stigma of affordable housing coming into their neighborhood. And so if we are able to reach out and make partnerships that help people understand what the impact of affordable housing is, who are the people we're talking about that need to be served, that more likely we can build a coalition behind people who are supporting our efforts that rather than are just simply fearful of what we're doing.
Is rent control part of that arsenal? I know other cities, yeah. I think Berlin recently enacted some rent control areas. This is something that's been tried in other cities. Is that something that's ever been discussed here in Boulder County?
Not necessarily at our regulatory level, but the projects that we developed that are funded with low-income housing tax credits have a degree of rent control already built in. So rather than being a district-wide approach or an approach enacted by a jurisdiction, our projects have that built in. And so they can only grow at a certain, the rents can only increase at a certain rate over time.
I'm speaking with Erin Ganser, a development project manager with Boulder County Housing Authority, along with Nari Boyd, who's a housing development manager, also with BCHA, on a public affair this morning on KGNU, looking at this very broad, complex issue of affordable housing, rental housing in Boulder County. Nari, for people who are listening now who are saying, yeah, that's me, I'm a middle income person, or always thought I was a middle income person, average, you know, income person, and I cannot find somewhere to rent. I mean, what's your advice?
Yes, well, I certainly think that just coming to some of our community meetings, we're having many more opportunities where we're going to the Lafayette or Lewisville Senior Center and meeting with folks there so that they can hear not only about the current projects, but also just how we work in general. Coming to some of those community meetings, and we're trying to post them on our website as well. We're also one other source of assistance that we're advocating right now is we're opening up our Section 8 waiting list.
And that's a lottery system, is
that
right?
That's a lottery system, exactly. So on June 16th, we'll be opening that up, and that helps provide some additional assistance to folks who want to take that subsidy and apply it in the current rental market.
Has there been an issue with landlords not accepting Section 8? I mean, is that an issue, or is it just the lack of availability in general compounding that?
I think it's more the lack of availability in general. Most landlords they know us, they know Boulder County and our track record of working with clients in order to help them be successful tenants. So I don't think that many landlords are there to turn down the Section 8 subsidy.
But having a Section 8 doesn't guarantee you getting housing.
That's correct.
To you to actually find that housing.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And so can people find out more or get in on the lottery for Section 8
yes.
through your website as well?
BoulderCountyHousing.org. That's right.
And we're linking to that at kgnu.org. Would you say this is an extreme circumstance that we're in now, given all of the dynamics you mentioned earlier, the flood that displaced so much of the affordable housing? We lost two mobile home parks and Lyons, I think, too, in Longmont as well. A lot of the affordable housing, low rental housing, just gone. What's happening with the economy? Is this kind of one of the worst times that you've both seen? You both have long careers dealing with affordable housing.
I think that there's an interesting coalescence of circumstances that are not helpful. That if, you know, when you look at the impact of the flood and the number of affordable units lost there, that alone has an impact on a market like ours when it's as tight as it is. But then you look at the economic recovery and the construction crunch in terms of labor and costs, and then you couple that also with that we don't have a lot of land available. That certainly there's, you know, you look out and we have beautiful preserved open space, which is one of the things we love about Boulder County and what makes the quality of life so high up here. But when you're looking for economies of scale, when you're trying to develop, you know, 70 to 200 units of affordable housing, there aren't many big parcels left. And so we run up against the fact that there are a lot of market issues going on that make this difficult, but there's also a shortage of good developable parcels. And so when you put all that together, it starts to, because we're not getting more land. And so a couple of those issues are not going to work themselves out. And so we need to be more creative about how we come about solving the problem. And one of them is increasing density and looking at, can we put more units on a single piece of land and helping people become comfortable with that development type? And we've seen that kind of evolve through the city of Boulder as redevelopment districts are established and higher density buildings are put in, but making sure that we do that in a way that respects neighbors, that really does function as a family property so that it works properly.
Well, we just have a couple of minutes left. Obviously, this is a discussion that we'll have again and look into some of the finer points of it. We've heard from families in Denver who are just chasing those cheaper rents. As I mentioned, in Boulder County, it seems that people are moving further and further east into those. There used to be affordable pockets and housing in the east of the county, and even that is now not affordable and people moving further and further east. Same thing happening in Denver, people just moving further and further out of the city. And then you have the knock-on effect of then kids being having to travel so much further to schools or having to change schools all the time because of that. I mean, are you hearing from other entities in society, whether it's the school district, whether it's hospitals or other service areas that didn't have this kind of population before? Are you hearing that we're seeing that population shift again?
We hear a lot of the conversation with regards to housing employees, particularly with the school district, with the hospitals, with daycare workers, with folks that are at kind of the, not necessarily just serviced industry, but folks that are kind of creeping into paraprofessional positions, your police officers, your fire workers, or your firefighters, all of those, that they are quickly getting priced out, if not already priced out. That to not have the community service sector being able to house within your community really is not what we want to have happen, that we're already pointing in that direction. We're already experiencing that with the school district and all of these other agencies, that the teachers and the firefighters and the police officers all should be parts of the community in which they live and work. And when you can't house them, then they're shouldering a bigger burden in the sense that now they're commuting further. They're paying more for daycare as their kids are in daycare for longer hours. They're paying more in transportation costs. They're generating more carbon emissions. And so if it's not just the community element of keeping our community whole and diverse, it's also the fact that ultimately the weight and the cost of that long-term commute really makes people start looking for a new community where they can be at home and work.
Eric Ganser and Nari Boyd are with Boulder County Housing Authority. They were my guests this morning on KGNU's A Public Affair, talking about affordable housing in Boulder, a conversation that we will certainly continue in future shows. And we'll link to their website and we'll put information on applying for the Section 8 housing and some dates and times of maybe some of the future community meetings on some of the on the Kestrel development in Lewisville. That'll all be at kgnu.org. Thank you very much for coming in this morning.